what you and I are seeing with these figures. But this future tense, past tense, gave them a lot of problems. But for us, it gives no problem whatsoever. And so this is what he's going to do. So we have the past, the present, and the future. Now we come to the last of the dragons that we're going to study. And the last one, it's listed in Job, and in the text that we can find, is Tanin. T-A-N-N-I-N. Tanin. And it's a second seven-headed dragon of the Ugaritic myth, Ugaritic mythology. And I've told you a lot about Ugaritic mythology. It is where Jezebel's from. It's where Baal worship came from. And you know how prevalent Baal worship is in the history of Israel in the Old Testament. So all of this is where this came from. Sometime we might do take a look at the Ugarites. Paul Stark and I spent a semester studying Ugaritic. Dr. Kenneth Barker was at Dallas Seminary then, and he was a genius in cognate languages. And he not only taught Hebrew, but he also taught Ugaritic, Aramaic, all of the languages that seminary offered, and we took them. And Ugaritic was a lot of fun, reading, studying, and learning. We'd only spent one semester on it. But there are a lot of things in the Ugaritic text that are in the biblical text, and that's difficult for a lot of people to deal with. Now, in the book, God's Battle with the Monster, Mary Kay Wakeman, a tremendous scholar, I've enjoyed reading Dr. Wakeman, concludes in dealing with Tanin. And let me just read some of this with you. And I know, I've sat where you are, somebody reads, it's difficult to follow a reading, but just try to follow through with the reading in dealing with Tanin. I'm reading from Dr. Mary Kay Wakeman, God's Battle with the Monster, and page 73 in the middle of the page. Therefore, my conclusion is that the noun Tanin, and I'm not reading to you all the work that she did with it, but my conclusion, which is what we're interested in, is that the noun Tanin is properly a mythological term rather than the name of a real animal, referring to the monster who was struck down and or set under guard. So she's playing what you and I have just talked about, the two different things. Struck down and or set under guard by Yahweh when he established his dominion. Open references to the myth, then she names them, Anat, that's a goddess, A-N-A-T, angry at the arrival at Mot's, M-O-T-S, M-O-T, possibly S, Mot's messenger, boast that among her triumphs over Baal's enemy is the muzzling of Tanin. The devourer, Jeremiah 51:34, has been incapacitated so that he is no longer a threat. The implication of Job 7:12, too, is that the monster survives but remains under guard. In contrast to this is the image in Psalm 74 that we're going to be looking at in a moment, verse 13, Isaiah 51:9 that we've already looked at, of a violent death which, as Ezekiel elaborates upon it, is followed by the scattering of the dismembered corpse. The Tanin, like Leviathan, is subject to an ambiguous fate. Applications. The prediction of Isaiah 27:1, which we studied, that Leviathan, the monster, in the sea, will be finally overthrown, implies that until that time, he, parentheses, or what he represents, whatever Leviathan represents, remains a threat. So that's what I was trying to show you. It's already been done. It's going to be done. But he's a threat during time, but God is in authority over it. Now let's continue reading. Remains a threat. The primary enemy becomes a metaphor